We got more news out of fall camp. Maybe the sky's the limit for this Badgers receiver group. No pun intended. All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ryan Herrings, your host of Locked On Badgers, your team every day. We are here to help build that Badger community. Can't tell you how much I appreciate everybody tuning in, making this one of your first listens every single day. And we're going to get right into it, right? No wasting time. It's football season. So we have more news and notes from fall camp. I'm going to waste no time overreacting to everything I've heard, everything I've seen, everything I've read, and let's get after it. So I want to start here. There were a lot of reports of first-team defense, first-team offense, and I want to pick out the areas that I think are interesting. I'm going to start with the first-team defense. So the couple spots that are – a lot of this is as you would expect it, right? Keanu Benton's the nose tackle. Isaiah Mullins is starting. Nick Herbig is starting. CJ Getz is starting. I think the safeties are kind of who we thought they would be. But the interesting stuff to me is at inside linebacker, right? There's kind of a four-man battle there. And no matter what happens this year's defense is going to be really good. Last year's defense was borderline historic at Wisconsin, right? This year's defense is going to be really good. But replacing those two inside linebackers is probably the biggest question mark. Henningsen was awesome. There's defensive backs to replace. I think those answers are there. I think the inside linebackers are kind of up in there because those, you know, Leo Chanel and Sanborn played all the time. So we don't really know. And I don't think there's any way we fully replace what we had there, but could we still be really good? I think so. So I want to get into this in today's reports that we got out yesterday's reports. It was Jake Chaney and Jordan Turner were the starters. They started as the ones. And I think that's super interesting because Chaney is a guy. So Turner, let's start with Turner. I think Turner is the one everybody's penciled in for a long time. He looks different on the football field. Like, you don't have to watch a lot of football, see a lot of film to watch him run and move around in space and say, that dude's got a gear, right? That dude looks athletically cut a little different than the normal guys there. So I think Turner is the player everybody has penciled in from the beginning to take one of those spots. But the dark horse, I always said, people said, well, Tatum Grass has played a lot. And by the way, super, super obvious disclaimer. This is based off one practice early in fall camp. There's a ton of stuff that the media is not going to be able to see. We're not going to be able to see. So I am not saying, look at this depth chart. This is who's starting week one. But tea leaves, right? We're reading tea leaves here, you know. And I said early on, people got to be careful thinking that this isn't going to be end up being Jake Chaney's job, right? Here's a player who the coaching staff got in and they made efforts to get him playing time, special teams as a true freshman. Now, they don't do that with players they don't like. They don't do that with players that they aren't pretty high on. He's a coach's kid, really, really good film, and from a really good program. All the little things that Chris Orr, if you remember, who came out of DeSoto, Texas, came in a little undersized, but from a football family, super instinctual. They found playing time for him early. I'm telling you right now, Chaney may not be that dude because Chris Orr was one of the better linebackers in the Big Ten. Those are big shoes to fill, live up to. I think Chaney is going to be one of the starters here, if not when the season starts down the road. So, yeah, it was interesting for me to see that Turner-Chaney pairing. And I think athletically they mesh well. Like Turner is more the sideline to sideline. He's going to be able to cover people, speed and space, you know. And Chaney's like kind of the instinctual plugger, you know, will fill a gap. He's going to, I think, in my opinion, be really good against the run. Maybe not have the athletic measurables to follow a tight end up the seam or to track a running back on a wheel route. But I do think that those two, their games mesh pretty well. And I love the fact that we're starting to see them come together. Now, the other two players, Tatum Grass and Mama Najameda, are both there as well. I'm sure it's some combination all four are going to play this year. The two deep is pretty strong. I feel pretty good about that two deep. I think you can feel as good about that two deep as you can without any of those players really playing a lot, right? I feel pretty strong about the fact that we're going to have good inside linebackers this year. Jake Ratzlaff is there as well, the four-star kid out of Minnesota from two cycles ago. So, you know, I think there's depth there. It's just all unproven. But, yeah, when I see Chaney and Turner lining up as the ones, to me, I'm pretty excited about it because it makes a lot of sense. I think you have a really instinctual coach's son in Chaney, and Turner's just an athletic dynamo. So that was interesting to me. The other one with the – a couple other ones with the first-team defense that we saw, the Rodus Johnson is starting on the defensive line. Now, I've always thought it would probably be Rodus, but James Thompson Jr. is the other guy there, another 290-pound guy. So you have Keanu Benton in the middle, obviously, Rodus Johnson on one side, and then Isaiah Mullins on the other side. I've said this a bunch. The defensive line is going to be super salty. I've seen reports, you know, people are worried about it. They're not sure about the depth. I'm telling you right now, barring quite a bit of injury, you don't got to worry about the defensive line. Keanu Benton's a stud. I like Rodus Johnson, Isaiah Mullins, James Thompson, Isaac Townsend, you know, Gio Paya's behind Keanu. I think they're going to be really good. And if Benton stays healthy and if, you know, a couple of these guys make a little bit of a jump, they could be an upper third, upper fourth Big Ten defensive line because they're upperclassmen, they're big, they're physical, and you have an NFL dude in Keanu Benton. So let's pivot right there really quick. You know, Benton, obviously not a surprise to see him in the ones, but everything we've heard about Benton from people watching fall camp say he's lighter, he's more powerful, he's moving people. This is going to be a breakout season for Keanu Benton on top of beyond what we've already seen, which has been really good. Like, he's going to use this season and he's going to transition that into a top three, first, second round, you know, third round type NFL draft pick. He's that good. He's that dominant. He just needs to stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, A, this team is going to have a really good run defense because if you have him in the middle, that's a great start. And B, I think he's going to show more explosiveness this year. He's lighter. He's a little more physical. So I think the defense line is going to be great. The other takeaway I had from looking at the first string defense, you know, so Alexander Smith was out. He was out for practice. Minor injury. No worries. No worries. That would be a bad one to lose. So minor injury. He was working on the side. Doesn't sound like there's any concern there. What's interesting to me is the third cornerback was Justin Clark. So it's interesting to me for a couple reasons, right? We brought in the three transfer cornerbacks, right? Cedric Dort, Justin Clark, Jay Shaw. Now, everybody assumed Jay Shaw would be one of the starters, the kind of all second team, all Pac-12 transfer out of UCLA. And so far, that's correct. So it's Shaw and it's Alexander Smith. But without Alexander Smith, I'm a little surprised that the other starter, at least in the beginning, again, we're not trying to overreact too much to one practice, but it was Justin Clark. It's not Cedric Dort, the Kentucky transfer. And it's also not one of the young corners on the roster. It's not Samar Melvin. It's not Max Lofi. You know, that's interesting to me. And it makes you wonder how ready or not ready that young group of cornerbacks on the Badgers really is, right? The fact that it doesn't look like, you know, Samar Melvin's a junior. You know, he's been in the program for a while. He's an athletic player. He played early. And it doesn't even look like he's not even in the top three or four cornerbacks right now. So that's interesting to me. No, not casting any aspersions, no red flags. It's early, but I'm just seeing these depth charts play out, right? And seeing who goes where. And it looks like right now the top three cornerbacks, Alexander Smith, Jay Shaw, and Justin Clark. I'm not exactly sure where Cedric Dort is, if he rounds that out as the fourth corner, or if it would be a guy like Samar Melvin, Max Lofi, you know, a lot of question marks there. So that's kind of the defensive stuff that interested me when I see the first string. I'm interested in Rodus Johnson. Is he going to have that kind of breakout season? James Thompson, where is he going to be at? The inside linebacker grouping is super interesting to me. It may not be right away. I do think at some point this year, you're going to see Chaney and Turner start together. And I think that's going to be a really fun group to watch. Coming up, we're going to talk offense. We're going to talk about a receiver who's breaking out and what to make of the offensive line shuffles, all that and more coming up on Locked On Badgers. You know, one of the best places if you're a sports fan and you want to test your knowledge, BetOnline. BetOnline remains our number one source at Locked On for all your online sports wagering information, the best spot for all your sports developments, podcasts, reviews for the leagues this season. They have sports news, sports betting, futures, Vegas casino games, roulette, blackjack. It's not just sports. Like I said, it's live betting. It's all your favorite Vegas casino games. And it's a great spot for futures. We talked about it. If you have a good feel on any league, the pennant races, I mean, the Mets are now pulling away in the East. If you think the Braves still have a chance, you know, what about that last wild card spot? Is it going to be the Padres adding Juan Soto? Tons of spots where if you have a good feel on any team, any league, any sport, go to BetOnline, do it responsibly, but have some fun with your sports knowledge. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you again for making Locked On your first listen every day. Locked On Badgers, your first listen every day. This is your team every day, and we are here to help you build that community, help talk Badgers every single day, and we really appreciate everybody tuning in. I appreciate everybody tuning in. It's humbling to have anybody want to spend any amount of time listening to this, so thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and let's keep going. There's a ton of stuff to get into, and I love this part of the year because we've been so football starved for so long. Getting anything feels like it just feels like a Christmas bonanza that you're opening presents for. So let's get into it. One of the big things, I was looking at the first team offensive line, and here it is. It's Jack Nelson, Tyler Beach, Joe Tippmann, Michael Furtney, and then Logan Brown. That was the first group that started off, and that's interesting to me for a couple of reasons. Again, we talked about Tanner Bordellini. Bordellini's a really good player, and to me it looks like he just might be that swing player this year, cover both guard spots and the center position, provide great depth. Maybe a guy who comes in, you know, the Badgers do like to go with that jumbo package, you know, where they'll either go, we've called it different names in the past. Obviously, the barge was famous with like 7-8 offensive linemen, but the hippo package put an offensive lineman in the backfield. You know, sometimes they just like to put that jumbo tight end out that's really an offensive lineman. So maybe that's a role Bordellini has this year, along with, let's face it, players get hurt, right? No offensive line goes the entire season without somebody getting nicked up somewhere. So, I mean, Bordellini's going to play, but right now it looks like he's that interior swing guy, right? He can back up both guard spots, back up the center spot. The interesting things here, right? Right tackle's the battle. We've talked about that a lot. Right tackle, it's Malman, it's Logan Brown. Both of these dudes, incredibly high-profile recruits. I mean, Logan Brown was the 5-star, but Riley Malman was a 4-star player. Giant frame on both of them. You know, I've always thought Logan Brown might fit a little better on the inside. Like, he's a road grader. We saw him against, like, Wake Forest. We've seen him really move people, but his quickness has always been a bit of a question mark. So, you know, maybe he's a guard going forward after this year. You're obviously going to lose Tyler Beach, you know, so maybe he's able to slide in, and then Riley Malman is your right tackle of the future. So here's the second team offensive line, and this is also fun to do. So Nolan Rucci, Austin Barrett, Tanner Bordellini, Trey Wedig, and Riley Malman. So a couple things that are interesting. First of all, we see Bordellini, right, that backup center spot. I think you're going to feel great with Bordellini or Tippmann at center. So the Badgers are going to go too deep there really well. Trey Wedig, practicing at right guard. Now, he was a tackle coming out of high school, 4-star player, played in the Army All-American game, huge frame, really strong. And at the time, like, this is another one similar to Logan Brown. At the time, I said, this dude might – and again, I also said this because the Badgers had a plethora of tackles, right? Nelson, at the time they had Beach, Logan Brown, Riley Malman. So they had a ton of young tackles in the program, and they had Trey Wedig, and I was like, man – I kind of think Wedig's future might be in at guard, just a pulverizing road grader of a player who can just move piles, you know, and to see him practicing at right guard, that's a Bob Bosted move. Clearly he thinks there's a reason for him to put there. I think that's really interesting, something to track. It wouldn't surprise me if he stays there. And then the other thing is that second team offensive line, you know, you're talking with Malman and Rucci and Wedig. Those are all three or four or five star players. Rucci's a 5-star. That is so good. This team is so deep. You're looking in that two deep, those 10 offensive linemen, and you're looking at, I think it's 6 4- or 5-star players. Let me just count. Nelson, Beach, Logan, Rucci, Wedding, and Malman. Yeah, six. There's six players in the two deep that are 4 or 5-star guys. It's just the talent is so deep right now. They're, that second string offensive line, you know, 3 or 4 of those players would probably start for some Big Ten teams, you know, not every Big Ten team, not Michigan, Ohio State, not Iowa, but Minnesota. Yeah, that's a joke, obviously. But Rutgers, Maryland, Illinois, Purdue. Yeah, like this offensive line could be really good this year with Bob Bosted and with some of these younger players coming to terms, right? Like kind of growing before us. The other thing I want to talk about with the offensive line, and I'm curious what everybody thinks of this. Leave a comment. Let me know. Leave me some feedback. We might get into a situation where Bob Bosted is going to get an inordinate amount of credit if the offensive line does really well this year. Let's not forget Rudolph in this. So what could happen, and again, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I love the move of Bob Bosted to offensive line. I think it's an absolute home run. However, he is inheriting a bunch of young talent that's kind of maturing underneath him right now, right? You're talking about a guy like Jack Nelson who got his feet wet last year. Logan Brown is finally healthy. Riley Malman, Nolan Rucci, Trey Wedig, all these dudes were brought in by Joe Rudolph. And just naturally, we're going to get better almost no matter who was the offensive line coach. So If you see a big jump this year in the offensive line, I think some of that's Bob Bosta, because I think his track record says he's an incredible offensive line coach. Some of that is just young players progressing, right? And I want to be really careful that we don't lose sight of the talent Joe Rudolph brought in here and then kind of say, you know, turn this all into Bob Bosta, turn the offensive line around. Young players get better. Like, it's very reasonable to think if Joe Rudolph was here this year, Jack Nelson's going to take a jump no matter what, right? Because he's a mauler and he was young last year. He got his feet wet, you know? So yeah, I guess I'm saying, kind of talking both sides of this coin, and I'm curious what people think, but if the offensive line gets better this year, let's give credit to Bob Bosted, but let's also not forget the talent that Joe Rudolph brought in, right? There's a lot of pieces of clay on this offensive line that are here because of Joe Rudolph. And now I think most of us are pretty confident Bob Bosted is going to get the most out of them. So that's the offensive line stuff. If I had to make a guess week one, I think it's going to be Logan Brown at right tackle. I think it's up in the air, but I think it's going to be Logan Brown. Him and Riley might platoon a little bit. Like, you could see, I think you could see that go back and forth. And I think the rest of the line is pretty set, right? I really think it's going to be Nelson, Beach, Tippmann, and Fertney with Bortolini as that kind of interior swing guy. And that's going to be really good. Let's talk about Skylar Bell. Let's talk about the sky is the limit, Skylar Bell, the guy who, if you look at Badgers Twitter, if you look at practice reports from, you know, the Evan Floods, the Colton Bartholomews, the everyone else that's really been there, Jeff Petroikis, right? They are all raving about Skylar Bell. And I think for the first time in a while, you can legitimately look at the receiver room and say there's more than just dependable options there. There's also upside, because we all thought it'd be Marcus Allen. I think most people, I shouldn't say we all, I think most people thought it'd be Chimere and Marcus Allen, and then Skylar Bell and Keontez Lewis would kind of fight for the 3 and 4. But it sounds like Skylar Bell is just really using this combination of athleticism, catch radius, and quite frankly, just physical ability to go get a ball, that has separated himself from Marcus Allen and Keontez Lewis. And he sounds like he's made a big jump, right? A couple, 3 touchdowns in yesterday's game, including a couple that were on Twitter where he was making contested catches, one off a slant. You know, he showed some flashes last year. And now I think suddenly you have to really like what you have. And thank goodness we're hearing positive stuff here, because it could very easily be the other side, right? It could very easily be, passing game is struggling. You know, Mertz isn't connecting with anybody. Skylar Bell's dropping balls. Marcus Allen can't separate. And instead, we're really hearing, you know, they're really hitting on some stuff against what should be a pretty good secondary. And we're hearing Skylar Bell taking a big jump. So I'd be super excited. Now, fall camp news is always strange, right? Whenever you get something good happening, it's kind of coming at the expense of something else, right? If Skylar Bell's 3 touchdowns, that also means we gave up 3 touchdowns from the secondary standpoint. But I think what are the big concerns with this team? I'm not concerned about the defense. The defense will be fine. We have a track record there. So I would much rather hear the passing game is doing well than the passing game is struggling. And so far, that seems like there's been some jumps there. Graham Mertz has drawn some praise. It sounds like he's throwing the ball pretty well. He's a little more mobile. And then Deacon Hill, who was, you know, the kind of 4-star quarterback out of UCLA from 2 cycles ago, sounds like he's gotten better as well. He's dropped a little bit of weight. The arm strength is always there. Like, he has a cannon, the best arm on the team. So I think that's some positive stuff to get excited about if you're a Badger fan. Let's talk a little bit more about the offense. Sounds like Chez Mulusi and Isaac Arendo are both looking really, really good. And that's obviously a huge, huge part of this offense, right? Wisconsin, no matter what Bobby Engram does, no matter what Graham Mertz does, no matter how amazing Skylar Bell is, the bread and butter of this team, no matter what, is still going to be running the ball, right? It's still going to be Braylon Allen, 20, 25 carries. Chez Mulusi, 10 to 15, 20 carries. You know, Isaac Rendo, 5 to 10. So the issue we ran into last year, right, is we just got worn down. Braylon Allen got worn down. And without anybody behind him, the offense became so much harder to run the ball. So having that solid 2 and 3 is a huge part of what is going to drive this team this year. So it's unbelievable to hear that Chez Mulusi, 9 months after his ACL, it looks great. There's no brace on it. Isaac Rendo, I talked about a couple episodes ago, is the X factor on this offense, a legit track guy at 220 pounds. So if those two are ready to go, and you have Braylon Allen and you have Jackson Acker at fullback, a couple tight ends, and more upside at the receivers, and I've already told you I like the offensive line, like, you can see we're putting the pieces together here where you can get kind of excited, right? You can get kind of excited about this offense with Bobby Engram, Sounds like the receivers are doing better. The running backs are healthy. So I would be stoked about it. It's something that caught my eye. It's something that I think is really good news. Coming up on Locked On Badgers, we're going to continue to talk about some of the camp reports and wrap it up big picture. What does it all mean on today's Locked On Badgers? Hey, everybody. Thank you for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Every day, your team, we're here to cover it. Really, really do appreciate everybody tuning in. And again, there's not a ton of practices open to the media this year. I think there's four of them. This was a full practice open to the media. So a couple more news and notes that I think are important to talk about. Cam Large and Spencer Lytle both hurt. So we've known they've been hurt, but Paul Chris kind of confirmed the Cam Large injury is going to keep him out for a while, the tight end. And that's a bummer. If you remember Cam Large, he was a guy who he had blue blood offers when we got him. You know, 6'5", 230 pounder, could do a lot of things from the tight end spot. And he was a player who had, he had reported offers from Georgia. He had a reported offer from Alabama. Now, offers, and I've talked about this a lot, are not always created equal, but he was a really good commit. And this would really be the year coming out of that, you know, there's no Jake Ferguson. This would be really the year where he would be taking that big step into the limelight. So, you know, it's certainly unfortunate. It sounds like he's going to be out for a while. And Spencer Lytle, the inside linebacker, moved over from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. Also sounds like he's hurt, hasn't been able to ramp it up for fall camp. I don't know if he would have factored into that inside linebacker position anyway, but that is kind of a bummer. So both those players are not playing. It's a couple more players, Colton Bartholomew, who is a really good reporter, had a couple tweets. One of the things he mentioned, really good reports on Dean Ingram, Rodus Johnson, and Logan Brown. And I want to talk about each of those just very briefly. So again, I've talked about the defensive line. I think it's going to be a strength. And then you hear Rodus Johnson looks great. Keanu Benton looks great. We already know Isaiah Mullins is a sawed-off tree stump. Like, you can't move him. We know James Thompson is a guy that coaching staff has loved for a while. We've heard good stuff on Gio Paez. Again, don't be surprised when this defensive line is one of the strengths of the team and everybody's wondering, well, how did they do it? If you have a group of upperclassmen on a Wisconsin team, and they're all, which is this defensive line, and they're all 280, 290, 310, 315. They're going to be really good, period. I don't get the questioning there. Okay, they're going to be really good. I promise you. Are they Ohio State? No, of course they're not Ohio State. But are they going to be really good? Yeah. And are the linebackers going to eat because the defensive line is really good? Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, don't be surprised when that defensive line is one of the best units in the Big Ten, one of the best units on the team again. You know, Dean Ingram. So another one, Colton Bartholomew mentioned Dean Ingram. Jeff Petroikis has mentioned Dean Ingram. This was a guy, I was a little critical of that move. Like, I got to be honest, you know, I'm always going to try to own my stuff if I can remember I said it. I talk a lot, so I don't always remember everything I say, but I didn't like the move of Dean Ingram from cornerback to receiver. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because it felt like at best he was going to be the fifth receiver on a team that doesn't throw much, right? And I didn't like it because we were losing a bunch of cornerbacks, and Dean Ingram looked pretty good at cornerback for me last year. So I would have left him at corner. But listen, it really sounds like, and we saw a Twitter highlight with him going deep, but it sounds like from what everybody says, he looks really good in the slot. And he might give the Badgers a little something there that really the other top four, the Marcus Allen, Skylar Bell, Chimere Dike, Keontas Lewis, none of them have that Dean Ingram body type, that, you know, kind of 5'10", twitchiness, you know, explosive in and out ability. So it sounds like Ingram might be this guy who can get that third and seven, and he runs just a little out, right, for 8 yards at the sticks, goes out of bounds, gets the first down, moves the chains. It sounds like he could be that guy for this team, and that's a really valuable role. Now, I still don't know how many catches that translates to in a Paul Chryst offense, in a Wisconsin offense, right? Dean Ingram may be the third or fourth receiver in that pecking order, but if a bunch of those catches come on third and six for 8 yards, if a bunch of those catches come, you know, in big moments to move the chains, that's a really big role. And that's something, quite frankly, this offense has missed. So, yeah, I could certainly have gotten that one wrong. And it sounds like so far so good on Dean Ingram transitioning over to receiver. And that's really most of what we've gotten from camp. So I want to talk a really big picture, the takeaways. What does it matter, or what does it mean? How do I feel? Do I feel better or worse about how the team looks? I feel better. I care about the defensive stuff. I don't really care in that I have so much faith in that front seven and Jim Leonard and the transfers that came over. I just think they're going to be a really good unit again. So really what I want out of this camp is I want to hear Graham Mertz looks better. The offensive line is settling in. The running backs are healthy. And the receivers are making plays against what I think is going to be a pretty good secondary. And so far, check, 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 check. right? Now, we haven't heard a bunch in terms of scheme, like what looks different, and I don't think we're going to. I don't think the Badgers are – I don't think that means things aren't changing. I think what it means is the Badgers aren't going to show you anything different on the media availability days, right? They're not going to give you any type of Bobby Engram new wrinkles. That's going to be curtains up week one, week two, week three. Quite frankly, some of that's going to be curtains up week four against Ohio State because the first three games aren't the biggest tests in the world. So I don't think we're really going to see all the new wrinkles offensively from Bobby Engram until we're a month into the season. So when we're not really hearing or seeing anything specific, I wouldn't stress about it. I've already seen a couple people say, oh, same old, same old. No, I don't think so. I think that stuff's under wraps for a reason. So yeah, overall, I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to see good reports on Mertz, the offensive line, and the receivers. Bunch more coming up on Lockdown Badgers this week, next week. We're going to continue diving into football previews, positional previews, opponent previews. There's a ton coming up. I hope you guys are ready for it, and I'm really excited football's here. Thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you like the show, please leave a like, subscribe, leave a review. It really, really does help support the show. It makes a big impact on us. But for the most part, I just want to say thank you for listening. We are here to cover your team every single day, and we're going to continue doing that on Lockdown Badgers.